just like a play, are showing how God's people can be empowered to be a light in a dark place. How God's people throughout the book of Acts can just have a great time. Holy Spirit. Yeah, getting beat up and thrown in jail, having a great time singing in the Holy Ghost. Because they have something that the world desperately needs. And that's who we are. So this morning, guys, we're going to take a look at a little bit more of the Holy Spirit. Now, how many of you really want to see God move? Raise your hand. All right, the rest of you can go home. No, I'm just kidding. You really want to see God move? Wouldn't that be fantastic? I don't know about you, but it gets a little old turning the pages of this Bible from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Hear about burning bushes. A guy drops an axe head into the water. You know, throws something in it and the metal floats. You know, the earth quaking when people pray. And yet, you know, we read this and we come to church and we say we believe all this stuff and we don't see it happening on a huge scale. Every time you turn the page of the calendar. Well, I'm sorry. I can't go on believing this unless I see it. And God is showing it to me. And I have seen some of these things happen, which makes it very, very exciting. Now, today, we want to see God move. Now, there's a principle in His Word that when He moves, we move. And there's also another principle in Scripture that when His people move toward Him, that He moves toward them. So this morning, I had to ask Brady, I said, is there a rule in the church here that all the boys have to sit on this side and that all the girls have to sit over here because they're made out of sugar and spice and everything nice and they're made out of weird stuff like puppy dog tails, okay? Or that you girls really do have cooties. You know, I don't think that's the way it is. So today, what I'd like to do is everybody stand up. Let's stand up. And I'm going to sing a song to you. I can't sing. It's hilarious. And when I'm done singing, while I'm singing, you move around. This is musical chairs, all right? And when you're done, I want you sitting someplace else next to somebody else, all right? I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. I want more of His great love, rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give Him more of me. All right, let's get there. You there? Hurry up, hurry up. Let's move. Faster, faster. Go. All right. What? Okay, Jesus is real. That's great. He's included in God. Who else would be included in Father God besides Jesus? There would be the... Right, Holy Spirit. Okay, good. Now, what are the other two wills? One here and one here. What? People. All right, so we've got people. We'll put the girls on this side and the boys on this side. There we go. Okay, so we have people. The human will. All right? That would be you and I. What other will is there in this universe? Satan. Okay? Very good. And everybody knows he has two horns and a pitchfork. Okay? There he is. Just as sad as can be. Ha ha. He's going to lose. We're going to win. There we go. Okay? All right. There we have it. Three wills in the universe. Okay. Let's have this video roll. Okay? As you look at this video now, guys, what I want you to look for, because there's my will as well, okay? My wife couldn't go on a trip, she said. There's the human will. There's God's will. There's some places where you're going to see that God brought people together. And it's like, that's His will, all right? Hopefully you won't see any of this guy, because he wasn't invited on the trip, all right? So, but I want you to be looking for these three wills. And where we're going today is back to the book of Acts. And we're going to see how and the reality that God promises to infuse us with His Holy Spirit so that we can be operating under His will. Okay. Life saving comes from the Lord. But before we depart, we're going to have a great safety.
站的看起山了，一个走神漫游宇宙和星辰，遇见了迷路的圣诞老人，找了一群人不走一个人，他带我去一个
神的 company was started in 2000 by Ramana Thunder. They had to open the first Tikal school in Weyong Dojo to Beijing with the vision of being able to open up many schools, helping a lot of other people open schools. So in the past, you know, 6 years since Tikal has been in existence in Beijing, there's been about 16 or 17 different schools that have been opened.
So走是漫游宇宙和星辰，遇见了迷路的圣诞老人，找了一群人又走一个人，他带我去营造圣诞节气氛，耳边是教堂传来的钟声，
Chapman,
mm-hmm.
He's a Christian singer. He has built a building for us.
Spent the day hanging out with the kids, and it's been an incredible experience, to say the least. They were just dumped on the street, essentially, because of how they looked. It's something deep within us that was really touched today. So,
Okay. The child is thrown out on the street, then there's almost absolutely no chance of them surviving. And this orphanage can save hundreds of lives doing that. And because I do have a special needs sister, I can see why much care is needed. So I'm glad that this orphanage is here, and I'm glad that these kids have a chance to be in it.
Smells like
chili.
But I hear it's really good. Ooh, stuck on my toes. hands.
Oh,
two hands.
I'm so American.
Nothing to jump.
Higher standards?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Very good. Let's see what this looks like from above.
Yeah.
There he is, Pearson.
It was really cool to see so many different cultures and countries worshiping our God together in a communist temple. It shows the unity that we have as believers in Christ.
Who'd like to go on a trip?
Thank you.
Three wills. Okay? Did you see what was going on at Renmin University? One American speaking English with a multitude of Chinese who know English. And they had a little book, and they're opening it and sharing our way, our Christian way of life, as the Chinese are asking questions. That was so God's will. We left on fire. It's like, this has never happened in our lives before. It was so cool because our kids were sharing just the reality of God in their lives. Didn't have to fabricate it or cook it up or bolster it or think of some clever way to say it. Just answering questions. Very, very cool. How about those chopsticks? Which of these two wills do you think that was? Were they anointed? Not quite. That was just me being goofy, okay? So in our lives, I can recognize in my own life, before I was saved, when I functioned under an evil presence. As a young person, as a teenager, I did bad stuff, okay? So in reality, guys, and now I can recognize when God moves through me, alright? And now the power of darkness, literally, does not have a right to influence me. Doesn't have that right anymore. John, the Gospel of John says, to those who believe, he's given the right to become the sons of God. And through baptism, the powers of darkness are broken. This morning, I walked in here wearing a Buddhist tie with a Buddhist sort of a Bible written all over it. It had no effect on me whatsoever. All right? I took the tie off. It is now in the garbage in that little basket in the back of the room. All right? So I can now be open to the flow of God's Spirit like never before. And the powers of darkness, they have heavy effect in our lives. Unless, of course, we allow that. Our text for today comes from Acts chapter 2 and verses 22 through 41. There's a lot of reading there. I woke up this morning and I thought, I should read the text again. I started reading it and I had to stop. Because this portion is so incredibly powerful. Peter was afraid of the Jews. He denied Christ. He was a chicken. He couldn't stand up to people. He denied him. And he ran away and he wept bitterly. He said, forget this Christianity stuff. I'm going back to fishing. And he was so powerful within his little group that others of the disciples decided to join him in fishing as well. He needed to be restored. But now we read about Peter in Acts chapter 2. And this man is lit. He is filled with the power of God now. And he stands up in front of the Jewish leaders. And he gets in their faces. Are anybody here afraid of anybody? Is there a bully at school or a teacher? We've got a teacher at Oakland Christian. Like, kids are afraid of this person, okay? Yeah, they're big. They're about like 2, maybe 3 times my size, you know? And kind of imposing. And they're afraid of that teacher, you know? I'm sure there's somebody we all may be afraid of, you know? But when I tell you, when the Holy Ghost comes on you, you have power. And so Peter here, because this is so exciting, he says in Acts 2, verse 22, he says, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God. In other words, the human counsel condemned him, but God knew that. You, he says, he points his finger, he says, you have taken, and by wicked hands, you killed him, you crucified him. But God has raised him up. And he's loosed every aspect of death that could have held him. Because it was not possible that death should hold on to him. And God has given that to us today. You know, if we have, and by nature we do have, in our hearts, I mean, this is reality. In our hearts, we have, yes, we are the creatures of Christ and the new creation, but we also have evil within us and we have good. We have the good and we have the evil dwelling in us. The good and the evil, because of the fall, and we were in the garden, in Adam, genetically, in the DNA, we were there. We're just as guilty. And so we live with that today. But what this scripture is saying is that by Christ's death, and by His resurrection, and by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this portion of death has no hold on us. It does not have a right to drag us into the devilish direction any longer. And if we believe that, we can walk that way. We sang a song this morning I thought was so cool about something about being a Christian and suffering. There's suffering in being a Christian. And that is good. Anytime you see God's people suffering in the New Testament, they're happy. That is the strangest thing. They are so excited. They sing in jail. Okay? They count it all joy. It's such a good thing. Alright, let's pick up on this portion. For David speak concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. In other words, God always present, the Holy Spirit always there for us. Therefore, our hearts rejoice and our tongue is glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. You know, when you really know God's presence, there's a rest that comes because thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. That was about Jesus. It's a quote from the Old Testament, but it's for us as well. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, and thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak, as if he wasn't, okay? Unto you of the patriarch David. And he goes on in this whole portion. Now I want to move down to this really, really cool part where he says, now, it says, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? These men heard about the power of the Holy Ghost. They heard about the promise from the Old Testament. They looked at some of David's writing and they said, what shall we do? They were not going to be content to live life as usual. Okay? Like in us going to China. Alright? New things happened because we were in a new place. We move toward God and He moves toward us. And so He answers. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, there is nothing like the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that when you get saved, the Holy Spirit draws you. And the Scripture tells us, Jesus said it plainly. He said, the Spirit is with you. But then He said, and shall be in you, which is a little different. Because the Spirit was with men of God throughout the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, the Spirit shall be in you. And at that great feast, Jesus took a pitcher of water, and everybody understood the significance of this, and He poured it out. And it was symbolic of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And He said, there shall be rivers of living water pouring out through your system to the world. That's a promise of God. Now, I don't know. I don't have enough of God because I love the Lord and I want more of His Holy Spirit. Do you want more of the Holy Spirit this morning? Because I believe God wants to give us more and more. Listen to this next portion of Scripture. It's so exciting. He says, for the promise is to you, and he was pointing to people in his day, but then he says, to your children and to all that are afar off. And those words mean afar off in geographic location, And it also means far off in time. So listen to what he says. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The promise of the indwelling Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit that transformed Peter in his fear to become a man of courage. The power is available to us. That is exciting. And with many words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves. Save yourselves from this generation. And I believe that the Spirit of the Lord would say that today. Save yourself by taking action, by moving toward God. Just as we move seats today, there is something that we can do. We can move toward God. We can walk away from our sinfulness with a deliberate decision as God empowers us, so that we are moving toward Him, so that we can affect this generation. You know, I believe that young people are going to be the ones who usher in a new move of God. You know, it's always been that way through Scripture. You know, there were a couple of old guys in the wilderness, you know, who led the young ones in. I pray to God I'm one of those. But I pray to God that you, as a group, can begin to be moved upon by God's Holy Spirit to do His work exactly where you live. And you know what? If you're called to another place, if you're called to take your very oriental face, your great hair and your terrific eyes, and that great skin that no other people on the planet have, back to China or Taiwan or someplace, and open your mouth with English, because they love English over there, all right? English represents a good job, a good education, enough money to support their parents and grandparents. So they want English. You've got English, and you can use it. Not to help them fulfill their goals. We'll just let them have their goals. But we'll let you use your English to affect them for the kingdom of God. How beautiful is that? See, this is something that God wants. He wants us to be global Christians. Now, I want to just talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit here from the Old Testament and the New Testament. There is something so cool, guys, in the Word of God. In the Old Testament, we see Moses 50 days after Pentecost. He climbs up this mountain. It's on the 50th day. 50 stands for Jubilee and freedom. And he's on this mountain, and the mountain is on fire. And what did he get while he was on that mountain from the Lord? What did he get? What did God write out for him? The Ten Commandments, okay? So he received the law 50 days after coming out of Egypt. All right, Passover, 50 days later, he got the law on a burning mountain. Let's flip the pages. New Testament, Feast of Passover. Who was sacrificed on that Feast of Passover? Who was the Lamb of God that was sacrificed on the Feast of Passover? It was Jesus, okay? He was crucified on that day. He became that Passover Lamb. 50 days later was the Feast of Pentecost. And that is when fire came again. In the Old Testament, the fire came on the mountain. In the New Testament, the fire came upon God's people. Now, in the Old Testament, they received the law. In the New Testament, they received the law that leads to liberty. And this is the beauty of being a Christian, is that we no longer have a law that just tells us how to behave. But we have a law that empowers us to live in complete freedom. So that now, as we relate to God and we have His Spirit dwelling in us, He speaks to us as little individuals and He tells us how to be. And that being causes us to live a certain way. So it's not, you know, thou shalt not do this, this, or this. But the truth is that we shall have no other gods before us. Okay? That's really a fulfillment of the Old Testament. That we shall not even think of stealing. Okay? Because we think of giving instead. So the law of the Spirit is a law of life in Christ that flips some switches in us and gets us totally turned on with this fire of living a New Testament life. It's really exciting to be a Christian. There's no more exciting way that we could possibly live on this planet. In the Old Testament, the Spirit came upon men like Moses, okay, or like Noah. What did Noah do by the Spirit of God that's so outstanding? Can you tell me? What did Noah do that was... Yeah, he built this great big ark, okay? Does anybody know what a guy named Bezalel and Aholiab did? Are those names familiar? I know nobody knows about Bezalel and Aholiab. They were artists, okay, in the Old Testament, and they built the tabernacle. You know, a lot of that sort of thing, okay? Somebody else in the Old Testament. Gideon. What did Gideon do that was so cool in the Old Testament? Anybody know? Gideon? What did Gideon do? Yes. I'm sorry. Yeah. He built this army, and they overtook, you know, the enemy in his day. That was by the Spirit of the Lord, okay? And in the New Testament, we have, you know, endless stories throughout the book of Acts of what they were able to do because of the power of the Holy Spirit. This power is very, very personal, all right? It's a personal power that God would pour out to any of us this morning as we are hungry for that power. In James chapter 1 and verse 25, it says this, "But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but being a doer of it, he will be blessed in what he does. To him that knows to do good and doesn't do that good," the Bible says, it is sin in James 4, verse 17. All right? So, when we know what is right to do, God promises in his word to give us the power to do those things that are right. To do those things that are right. To be a house of his Holy Spirit. So that we can live an extremely fulfilling life. Doing his will. Enjoying the things that we do. I'll never forget one day I was on my roof. Simple things. I went to fix my chimney. All right? The bricks were falling apart. And so I mixed up the cement, the mortar. You know, I had it on a mortar board. I had my trowel in my hand. And it was on like a first story roof. But I had a second story house and I could crawl out the bathroom window. So I crawled out of the window and I had my thing in my hand. And I walked over to the chimney and there were bees all around that building. All around that chimney. They had a nest in there. Okay. And so I'm like, I think I should get out of here. You know, these bees are nasty bees. They want to eat me. They want to sting me. Okay? They're telling all their bee friends, look, lunch has come up. Okay? And so I'm on this roof and I'm thinking, Holy Spirit, you know, Holy Spirit. You know, there's, you know, where there is smoke, there's fire. Where there is, you know, fire of the Holy Spirit, there should be some, you know, smoke. Smoke keeps bees away. There's got to be, you know, some presence here that can protect me. So I prayed, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord spoke. He said, take dominion over the beasts of the field. And I said, these are bees. Take dominion over the bees of the chimney. So I just thought, all right, here I go. I'm praying the whole time I'm working. And I worked on that chimney. Not one bee even landed on me. All right? There is power with the Holy Spirit. One time I was out on a little paddle boat. My wife and I were up at Mackinac City. We're out on this paddle boat, and the sky was getting like, it was a beautiful day. But up there, like these storms move in real quick. So we're paddling, you know. I thought, wouldn't it be cool if we like paddled all the way to Mackinac Island? You know, our little legs, you know, in this little boat, you know, a little blue thing made out of plastic. And then all of a sudden, the sky started getting darker. It's like, whoa, it looks like a storm, hon. And she goes, yeah. And, you know, so we were like on the east coast of Michigan, you know, like, is that Michigan? No, wait a minute. There, that's Michigan for you, okay. So we're like over here. Well, all the wind comes out of the west, right? So we're paddling, 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 and the wind is coming out of the west. Well, our little bodies, as little as they are, sitting in this little boat, are acting like sails. So this wind is blowing against us, pushing us further and further. The shoreline is getting smaller and smaller. We're paddling, trying to get in, and the wind is blowing us further out. And the water's coming in the boat, and I'm thinking, we're going to die. We're going to die in Lake Michigan. How good is this? I'm serving you, Lord, and I'm out here dying, just trying to relax with my wife and have a nice time. You know, and I look off in the distance and like, this isn't a funny story. Okay? You're laughing. I'm dying. You're laughing. I look off in the distance and there's a sailboat. And instead of the sail being like this, it's like this. And then it's like this. And then it's like that. The sailboat was going down. And the Coast Guard, okay? There's flashing lights all over. And this Coast Guard boat goes zooming out from way, I don't know where it came from, to save them. And I'm like, hello? Does nobody see us? And the worst part was, these yum-yums I rented this little boat from, they were like, I don't know, transplanted from Hawaii or something. And they're like, yeah, dude, great weather. They're like pot-smoking, you know, idiots at this little tiki shack in Michigan, you know, taking way too much of my money to rent this little not seaworthy paddle boat. And I'm thinking, they don't care if we die. They ran away and went home because their little hut is all like collapsed from the wind, you know. And so I start praying, obviously, whatever it takes, right? So sure enough, the Tiki Hut guys got on a jet ski. You know, one of them was like Rambo on his jet ski. He's going to be the hero. He'll save us. So he comes out, of course, women and children first, right? Well, there's no children. So they took the woman, my wife. So I'm left out there forever, okay, in this. And I'm just in this, you know, dreadful situation, bobbing up and down with the waves, you know, waiting for somebody to come and get me. Well, at a moment like that, you realize you could die. And you really begin to realize that if you died at that moment, that part of your heart loves God, and quite honestly, part of it loves sin. You know. And you realize, you know, there's some things that are not right that are attractive to me. Okay. So let's just figure I'm going to die, and that way I can prepare the way I need to. So I start repenting. I start saying I'm sorry for this little nasty thing and that nasty thing and this nasty thing and that one and that one. So pretty soon I had my heart all cleaned up and I was ready to die. All right? Right? But you know what happened? The guy, the Tiki Hut, you know, fry brain, finally came out and saved me. He did. I got on his little jet ski. But I realized when I got back to shore, you know, just like when you service ends here today and you get back to life as usual, that it doesn't have to be life as usual. There can be some transformations that happen. And so I just got really serious with God. And as I emptied myself, because that verse said, save yourself from this generation. As you empty yourself, those new voids can be places where the Holy Spirit will fill you up and empower you to live a life that is just exciting. You know, it's just exciting to be a Christian. And we see it throughout the New Testament. And to live below that, you're not getting everything you can have. You know? And it's almost a disgrace to live below the provision of God. It's like if mom makes you this incredible birthday cake and all you do is just stick your finger in it and lick a little bit of the frosting. But if you cut the cake, I had a grandma like this, she was really goofy. If you cut the cake, she has something hidden inside. Yeah. And my grandma used to hide money.
She did.
She hid money in the cannolis. Do you know what a cannoli is? Cannolis. Oh, they're so good. It's this like tube of this incredible crusty flaky dough. It actually has coffee in it. That's why the Italians are so crazy. They scream and yell. They drink way too much coffee. And she put this cream with like almonds and dark chocolate and cinnamon, Italian cinnamon. It's incredible. And it's stuffed with cream. Well, she would stuff this end with cream. Here, I'll draw you one. And, they're just like these really cool, they look like this, okay? Like that. And then they're stuffed with cream. Well, she would stuff it with cream on this side, and then she'd load it up with money in the middle, okay? And being a Christian that is not full of the Holy Ghost would be to like take a bite off of this. Maybe you're, you know, a little more wholehearted than that. Take a bite off of this, and you miss the money in the middle. You miss the money. You could be rich. You could be rich as a Christian with the most valuable thing on the planet, and that is God living in you, fully, fully submitted to His will. And so what I'm saying is, eat the whole cannoli. That's my message today. Eat the whole cannoli, because when grandma's cooking, every once in a while she'd burn one, all right? And it didn't smell that bad, because I knew what it was. That holy smoke would filter to wherever I was and go, whoa, granny's cooking those cannolis again. And I'd run to that place and partake. That holy cannoli smoke would lead me to the holy fire. And if I ate the whole cannoli, I'd get the money. I'd get the gold. All right? And so that is what we need. That is exactly what we need as Christians. When you walk down the hall at your school, do they know you're a Christian? I saw heads shaking. No. That's pathetic. All right? Listen to this. Yesterday I was at the school from, I don't know what time to what time. It was like a 13, 14-hour day. We're making a video. Let's see, am I going to show you this video? I don't know. You might see the video. All right, I had like 30 kids there, and we're working on this video all day. And so we had some downtime, because half the kids were free for like 5 hours. So we hung out in my Mac lab, and we just played around. We started watching YouTube. Have any of you seen Balloon Shop on YouTube? What one word would you use to describe their humor? Yeah.
Spontaneous.
Spontaneous, okay. Have you seen it? What word would you use? Random, spontaneous, random. I use another word, stupid. Because they are stupid. It is so stupid and funny. Just stupid funny. It's kind of the humor that's in right now, you know. And so, I have this picture of this guy. They're sitting on the fireplace hearth, and it's Christmas, and the guy gives him a box or something, you know. He gives his buddy a gift. He goes, oh, thank you. I love this gift. It is so nice. He goes, I just want you to know, though, the one thing I really, really don't like is a certain video. I don't remember the name of it. So the guy goes to get the gift to give to the other guy, and he opens it up, and it's like shrimp, raw shrimp. He goes, oh, and he picks it up, and all these shrimp are oozing through his finger. I love these. This is so nice. Then he digs deeper, and he finds this video that he hated. And he's, like, so disappointed. His friend gave him this, like, this horrible video. So they're both drinking eggnog. So he takes his eggnog, and he just pours it. He just dumps it all over his friend. And then somebody else comes and, like, shakes his head at him and offers him eggnog, and the guy goes to take it, and then he dumps it on him again, you know. This guy's like covered in eggnog. It's stupid. So my kids were talking about this, and the one kid, this was yesterday, they're talking about it, and the kid says, oh, yeah, they must be Christians. And the other kid says, yeah, they must be Christians. I said, how do you know? And he said, oh, because they don't do anything bad. And I'm thinking about coming here today. sharing the glorious power of the Holy Spirit to do good. To do good. If today's Christians are known as being Christians because they don't do bad things, that is lame. Are you with me? Does that make sense? Christians should be those who not only don't do bad, but they are Christians who are empowered with the Holy Ghost to do something good. To take over this present world by the power of the Holy Ghost flowing through us, enabling us to diminish this power of darkness. I can wear the Buddhist Bible on my neck. It has no power on me because the Holy Spirit is in me. All right? And the Holy Spirit wants to empower us. He wants to empower you to do, to be proactive. To be proactive for the kingdom of God. Now, I realize when somebody talks like this, who's an old person, it can feel like, oh, what's wrong with me? I'm not doing enough. This person does not understand the struggles that I face. I know you have struggles. You know, I was young and I still am young. Compared to how old I'm going to be. All right? You have struggles. They are common to all flesh. Don't beat yourself up over your hang-ups. God gets it. Jesus was, you know, 14, 15, 16, 17. He totally gets it. He understands. He sees you always. And He can empower you always to have a clear conscience and to accept the fact that you are human and that you are biological. It's part of His design, and it doesn't throw Him. The thing that He wants is your whole heart. So that even though, like me floating and facing death, I had issues, and I still have issues, but the cool thing is, the more I want God, the more He visits me. The more He fills me. As I become less, He becomes more. When I am happy about my weakness, He turns it into a strength. It's a time. We want to see revival. You know, we want to see these things happening. All right? I want to see you have power over the beasts of the field, even if it's a bug like a bee. All right? I've told you other stories about how God has met in wonderful ways, you know, in India with guns pointed at our heads because we were missionaries, and how what a happy time it was, you know. God can empower us. He can move by His Holy Spirit in wonderful ways. That belongs to you. It belongs to you. You've got to eat the whole cannoli. Okay? There's gold in there for you. Now, you know, I know it's right for you to raise your hand and say, you know, I know the right answer this morning. I should want more of God. But, you know, strip aside all the church, all the, you know, format of being right and doing what's right, because, you know, you want to do what's right. But just in a real, very real way before God. Do you really want to make a difference? Do you want not just the Old Testament law with fire out there in the mountain? Safe place, the people said. Go ahead, Moses. We're not following you there. You just go find out what God wants. Or do you want to be this New Testament, Holy Ghost-filled kind of a church like Peter? Person who is transformed with fire. The Bible speaks of the baptism of fire. You know, you can't walk down your hall with fire. You know, you walk down the hall with fire, the Holy Ghost, you're going to catch other people. If you're not catching other people on fire, then you don't have the fire. All right? But God wants you to have that fire. So let's pray this morning. You know? And if you want it, I'm telling you, God is going to give it to you. He will not hold back any good thing from His precious ones. Like our China video, there were times when it was just goofy me. And I could ride on that for quite a while. But there was times when God moved in our group and individuals. So if you want that today, you know, bow your head and lift up your hands, because that's letting God know that, you know, you want something. At school, when you want something, you raise your hand, you know, and the teacher calls on you. So if you want God, just raise your hand. Just do it right now. Just raise your hand. There's nothing weird about it. It's what the Bible teaches. We lift up holy hands, all right, unto Him, you know, and it's like, Daddy, I need something. Father God, I pray this morning for those who are genuine and sincere. They don't want to just know the law, what they can and cannot do, but they want to know the power of your indwelling, precious Holy Spirit that gives us words that are personal guidelines, truth, laws that lead us to a freedom that we have in you that causes us to be lit, causes us to be your light in this generation, causing us to be known by our good deeds that are born not out of a rule that we have to do them, but born because we cannot be satisfied unless we are doing your will and being what you want us to be in the Spirit. So I pray today that you will sweep through this place and sweep through our hearts and quicken us with your precious Holy Spirit to walk uprightly, to have a right heart and right mind before you always, in Jesus' name. And everybody who prayed that with you said, amen. God bless.